Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
In Genesis 26, we have the story of Isaac digging again the wells of his father Abraham. The wells have been gorged with dirt and broken rocks. Every morning, when the rays of the sun engulfed the wells, Isaac saw the potential for a flow. But the flow was beneath the filth. The water to irrigate crops was buried in the clutter of bias and racial hatred. One day, Isaac stood by one of the wells. He surveyed the area his father had settled several decades earlier. A whispering wind stirred the region's sand. A bashful sun peeked with just the corner of her eye around a big fluffy cloud. And he could almost hear the sigh of his father in the wind. And Isaac exhaled loudly, as if to respond to the memory of his father. For his mind was made up. He would dig again the wells that rightfully belonged to him as a son of Abraham. He looked at his own hands. How many blisters would be worn by gripping a shovel? He looked at the well. How much water really remained beneath the foul debris? He shook his head at the mystery. He scanned the land. How many enemies would fight him if he did discover water? Too many. But his mind was made up. Determination was plugged into his heart with full power, and his eyes lit up with the electricity of possibility. His lips curled into a smile, as if he had been instantly charged with a few currents of delight. Something good was going to take place. First of all, the wells did not belong to the Philistines. You see, the Philistines were a tribe allied to the Phoenicians. They were a branch of the primitive race which spread over the whole district of the Lebanon and the valley of the Jordan and Crete and other Mediterranean islands. Throughout history, there was perpetual conflict between the Philistines and the Jews. And during this time period, it was no different. Every move Isaac made was suspiciously eyed by his Philistine neighbors. They didn't want him to succeed in their land. They despised his heritage. And to be of chief annoyance to Isaac and his ancestors, the Philistines had choked the wells with sand, stone, and dead carcasses. Can you relate? Has a well of your dreams been stopped up, congested by jealousy, cluttered by relationship strife, clogged by hatred, stopped by stress, plugged by pride? And you get the feeling that the flow of forgiveness will never come. You think the strife and the struggle has been so long, so intense, there's no need to even attempt reconciliation. Maybe it would be just better to leave the wells behind, forget the dream, move on. It's been too long since you drank from the flow of peace. There's been too many debris-producing arguments, too many damaging confrontations that's left behind dead words, words of ill meaning. Words that rot in the well of the soul like a decomposing beast, leaving foul odors and the stench of pride. Your marriage, like a well, was never intended to be debris-filled. But many marriages are like a stopped-up well, full of dirt, chunks of insults, broken promises, shattered fidelity, fragments of trust, haunting words that trash communication, the refuse of rejection. And then there's your mind. Your mind, like a well, was never intended to be debris-filled. Yet unhealthy thoughts plague your mind. You try to find the deep-flowing springs of confidence, but they are too far buried beneath the rubble of regret. You wish you could recapture the enthusiasm of youth, but too many years of dumping discouragements have turned the well of imagination into a landfill of self-abnegation. You used to have a mind like a wishing well. Now it's just a weary wound of what could have been. But I encourage you, my friend, don't give up. There is still hope. You can dig out of this. Although the story we observe today happened millenniums ago, there is timeless inspiration to be gleaned. Meanwhile, back to the story. Isaac knew it wouldn't be easy. It would take hard work. There would be certain risk factors. But he narrowed his discerning eyes, cleared his throat, and confidently announced to all of his servants the plan. Next year's crops would be even greater. Thirsty seeds in desert locations would drink of resurrection power, and they would push through the soils that had been vegetationless. Sterile wastelands would become fertile, and the land that had only been a monolithically moonscape area of snakes and scorpions would flourish with verdant stalks of life. Fruit would grow where sand vipers slithered. Grain would rise where lizards blended in with crusty grounds. And all of this would take place because of the wells. You see, the wells were key to irrigation, and irrigation was the key to revival in the forgotten pasture lands. The servants, excited about the prospects, nodded in anticipating joy. They grabbed their shovels. They relentlessly dug. The sun scorched their bare backs, and the soft winds of dawn gave way to furnace breaths, and at times the wind seemed to have teeth, for sandy grit nipped at their cheeks. They would wipe the sweat from their faces and feel the tiny granules of sand dig into the flesh. But they worked on, and they worked diligently. They shoveled away layers of dirt and death, tossing out piles of putrid garbage, carrying away mounds of jagged rocks, and putting sand back in its rightful place, the desert. You see, the wells were never intended for waste, but for water. It was never designed to hold dirt, but to flow with refreshing drink. What thirsty man can drink of a choked stream? What good is a well positioned in a desert that cannot quench the tongue of a long-traveled wanderer? Better to be a grave, better to be a junkyard, better to have never been dug than to have false hope to the weary eye of one who would see it from afar. So is cluttered philosophy. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. You've run with an accelerated heart at the sight of help. Help in the desert. Help in the form of a well. A well that promised resolution to your long-searched need for peace. But when you hoisted the bucket down, turned the crank upward, and brought what you had hoped to be a remedy to your lips for your aching soul, there was nothing but dust and disappointment. For a well that promised self-help, you help yourself to fragments of fraud. For a well that solicited your attention, claiming to quench your need for adventure, you taste only the bitter portions of boredom, and your search now must continue on. Maybe you've tasted of too many stopped-up wells that you don't even stop by them anymore. When you see a well, you just simply move on. No need to waste time being frustrated by high hopes and barren results. You see, in this story about Isaac and the wells that he began to dig again, you have to understand that in this historical setting, Isaac was a man of much means. He had abundant cattle. He possessed many servants. Everything he put his hand on increased. But the more he increased, the more his opponents were incensed. You see, his agricultural prowess was unmatched. His were the only crops that enjoyed a hundredfold increase from seed to harvest. The soil seemed to rejoice in Isaac and be depressively unfriendly to the Philistines, and that made them the much more adversarial. But you see, even though the Philistines stopped them up with the earth, with dirt, with debris, with dead carcasses, Isaac realized that's never what the wells were intended for. And just like the wells, you were not intended to be a failure, my friend, filled up with the rubbish of regret. You were never intended to be emotionally spent, stopped up by trauma and tragedy. You were not intended to be mentally fatigued, jammed with condemning thoughts. You were not intended to be visually distracted, your eyes congested with lust and pornographic addiction. But rather, my friend, you were intended to be filled with inspiration, a flowing witness of God's goodness. You were meant to be a manifestation of grace to thirsty souls staggering in deserts of grief. You were designed by heaven to gush forth with an artesian anointing, to refresh a diseased world with healing and deliverance. So don't let the enemy stop up the well of your soul. Don't give allowance to doubt and human reason, whereby the free-flowing gift of faith no longer has passage. You are a vessel that God wants. You are supposed to be a living well, not a dead memory. Secondly, not only did the wells not belong to the Philistines, but Isaac realized these wells belonged to his father. Who do you belong to? Maybe your life has been debris filled with failed attempts at approval. You've labored hard to get a parent's acceptance, but only dead words, only ignoring stares, only painful indifference. But your heavenly father, my friend, is different. He'll not treat you that way. If you have come to him with sorrowful eyes, he would never close his. If you reached to him with desperate hands, he would never fold his arms in neglect. If you told him you needed love as a salve to your wounds, wounds of self-inflicted sins, wounds of betrayal and rejection, wounds of delinquency, he would never pour in them the salt of insensitive reproof. He would give you the balm of Gilead, the salve of a Savior. Why? Because your soul is like a well, and it was never intended to be filled with abuse, neglect, or worthlessness. You were never supposed to be choked up with the sand of cynicism, unable to say, "I love you," because all you've ever heard was, "Get away from me." You were never supposed to be filled with bitterness, because it seems you've never gotten a break. You were never supposed to be overwhelmed with self-imposed guilt, because you've been told too many times that it's always your fault. Let's go back to the story. Not long after Isaac's servants began digging, they found water. It was in Gerar, which means circle. And indeed, Isaac had come full circle. He had returned to the wells his father originally dug. And not only did he decide to dig the wells again, to restore them back to water-producing wells, but he determined to keep the names of the wells given by his father. You see, I believe the scriptural and the spiritual significance of this passage is relative to you today. Your soul, as I've said earlier, is like a well. Various adversities from problems, both self-imposed and by others, have filled your well up with debris. You're cluttered with earthly concerns and cares. And the only way to find the flow of truth, the flow of forgiveness, the flow of salvation and hope is by returning to the name that brings sweet water from the soul. And that name, my friend, is Jesus. This generation is plagued by an identity crisis. People turn to body piercings, tattoos, sensational dress, materialism, and other emotional and physical labels to find belonging. But all this does is clog the well of the soul even worse. Your identity crisis can end at the cross. You can find belonging through the power of the blood that cleanses from sin and leads you to a soul-deepening experience through the power of the Holy Ghost. Just turn to the original. You can go back to the book of Acts and find the first identity of what Jesus wanted his children to enjoy, what he wanted his church to look like and experience. You see, in the story, it wasn't until Isaac's servants found water that the herdsmen of Gerar opposed them. And for several more weeks, Isaac's men would dig and contend, dig and strive, dig and argue over the rights to the wells. They even identified the wells by these confrontations, calling the first well Sitnah and the second one Esek, which means contention and strife. But finally they came to the last well, a well without war, a well without struggle, a well of blessing, dignity, and rest. You know what it was called? It was called Rehoboth, which simply means God has made room for us. Oh, friend, let me tell you where God has made room for you. At the cross. You can find the well of rest at the cross. You can find peace from past conflict at the cross. Remember, the simplicity of this message is what the wells are intended for. And we've determined a well was made for water, for flow. Jesus said in John 7, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Do you hear that? Living water. And you are a well, a soul, a spiritual being that is to flow with living water. That is what heaven intended for you. That is why Jesus went to Calvary and gave his life as a ransom, to dig out your well, to free your soul of all dirt and detritus of this world, to give you a name, a family name, which is above every name, the name of Jesus. Again, let me show you what your well, your soul, was intended for. The Word of God says this in 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The word perish describes that which is to be destroyed, or that which is marred, lost, or ready to die. So if it is perished, it wouldn't have much worth. But you are not a perishable to God. He doesn't view your life like an empty can of soup to just be thrown in the trash. The contents of your heart may be empty of love, but he does not want to throw you away. He wants to change you. He wants you to come to him and be filled. So you may be empty now of peace and purpose, but if you come to him, if you come to the cross, if you come to the Lord that can give you the spirit of liberty, he will turn you from a perishing soul to a praising saint. Hey, that's his specialty. Taking used up junk and transforming it into treasure. Taking stopped up wells full of debris and death and bringing forth a spring of joy. You see, wells in the agricultural world of Isaac's day, they were invaluable. They were of the highest worth. So that's what he has intended for you, to be a well of worth. Not destroyed, not dead, not perishing, but one of worth. I encourage you today, my friend, stop letting the devil in your life make you feel worthless. Stop letting an antagonistic voice in your life tell you that you're no good. Listen, when God walks by you and sees you, the enemy may say with a finger of accusation and indictment that you're no good, but God says, "No, just give me a few minutes. Just give me a few moments in an altar of change at Calvary through the blood of Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus, and I will buffet the dirt off of them, and you will see gold of deliverance shine forth." Because God meant for you to have worth, not worth by means of the world, but worth according to his word. The scripture also tells us in John 7, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So here again is why God doesn't want you to perish or be a well stopped up with sin's debris. He wants you to have a river of promise. There is a real spiritual experience, an encounter with God that is life-changing, thirst-quenching, and world-impacting. Because if the river is coming out of your belly, that means not only is your thirst getting quenched, but you become a part of quenching other people's thirst. You've got family members around you that desperately need a leader. You've got children that need somebody to show them a way of escape from a world of addiction. And maybe you have been the worst example. Maybe you've been the one that's been the alcoholic and the abuser in your home. Maybe you've been the victimizer. Maybe you've been the dark cloud that hangs over the house. But if you could have a spiritual experience with God, if you could let the Holy Ghost dig out of you the debris of discouragement and despair, of failure and sin, addiction and the world's affections and appetites, if you could begin to flow with the forgiveness of God and become a testimony of what He's done for you, what would that do for your wife or your husband? What would that do for a son or a daughter that has been horrified by the things that they've witnessed in your home? What would it do for people on the job that has, through the years, watched your slow decline from somebody of great success to somebody that's about to lose everything? But here you come, changed by the power of the cross, changed by the Word of God, and you're now a testimony. You see, the river would be flowing out of you, not just to you, not just because you desperately needed it, but now somebody else crawling through the desert, some vagabond in a spiritual wilderness, sees you in the distance. They see you as a well of hope and change, and they come to you, and they're able to get a drink of hope. Because God has changed you, you, my friend, could change others. That is what's exciting about this mighty river and experience of the Holy Ghost. You're a well. Your soul is a well. And you were never intended to just be stopped up with fears, with worries about terrorism in our society, with worries about foreclosures and interest rates rising up, or economic fears, or all of those other things in the world that could just weight you down with a heaviness and despair, futility. You were intended to have a mighty river and a testimony flow out of you. You see, that's what a well was intended for, to give water, to be a witness. Not only does God want you to have worth, but He wants you to be a witness. You can be a well. You can be a witness. You can give hope to a longing soul in the desert. You can give words of peace to a troubled man who has wandered for long years in the wastelands of violence and anger. And lastly, you were intended not just to have worth, not just to be a witness, but you were intended to be washed. He doesn't want you to be filthy with failure, grimy with disgrace, like the stopped-up wells were in the story. He wants you to be clean. Well water is clean water. And you can be clean from all the junk that's been thrown in your life from the day you were born. How? He supplied the formula. All you have to have is faith. Acts 2:38. Just read it, my friend. Just believe it. Just do it. Because that is what your well was intended for.
To go where He is. Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.